Exodus chapter 2 in your Bibles, as well as Hebrews chapter 11. Exodus 2 and Hebrews 11. We look around in the world today and we see that the wickedness of this world makes the task of rearing godly children daunting. The influences of TV, the influences of music, materialism, the public school system, false religions, peer pressure is being used of the devil to counter all the efforts of godly men and women as they rear their children. But you'll understand something this morning, that this difficulty is not new. That same difficulty has been throughout the history of the world, because ever since the Garden of Eden, this world has been under the control of the ruler of the darkness of this world. But the schemes of Satan to destroy children can be counteracted, among other things, by the impact of a mother's faith. You've got your finger there in Exodus 2. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 24, where we read this: "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Here's the story of Moses in a nutshell. A story that is loved by all. A story that many people tell their children, even if they're not saved, because it's such a great story. And yet, what we're reading here in this chapter, what we call the faith chapter, is here and is something that we need to observe today. Go down to chapter 12, note verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Who are the witnesses? The witnesses are those who are listed in chapter 11 as having faith. They are the witnesses. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Included in that great cloud of chapter 12 and verse 1 is a mother. Her husband's name is Amram. Her name is Jochebed. You don't see her named in this chapter, but you hear her mentioned. And I didn't read the verse that mentions her. I started with verse 24. Go back to verse 23. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." Let me stop right there. Whose faith was it? Was it this little infant's faith? The faith referred to in verse 23, folks, is not that of Moses. He is mentioned in verse 24, "by faith Moses," and so forth. "By faith Moses," verse 23, "when he was born, was hid 3 months." Whose faith was it? Of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It was the faith of his parents. Jochebed, which means Jehovah is glory. You see, the faith of Moses that you read of in verses 24 to 29 is preceded by the faith of mom and dad, Amram and Jochebed, in verse 23. But chiefly, Jochebed. How do we know that? We're going to go back to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to see that. Her unshakable faith in God with her husband had them placed in this hall of faith. Without her faith, there would have been no child drawn out of the water by the daughter of Pharaoh. Otherwise unknown, God used a faithful mother by the name of Jochebed. And ladies, God will use you whether or not you are prominent or even known by name. If you will recognize the importance of trusting in the Lord, depending upon Him, as she did. You know, behind most men and women of faith, there is at least one parent of faith. I read of Timothy, this is in 2 Timothy 1:5, where Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." But where did it start? It started in his mother and in his grandmother. With Moses, when his older siblings, Miriam and Aaron, were born, there was no decree by Pharaoh. But Moses, being born at least 3 years later after Aaron, came under the edict that you read of in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, where Pharaoh says, "Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river." And against that horrible decree, you see the counteracting impact of a mother's faith. Beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1. Look at verse 1. "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Here is a faithful mother's refusal. Jochebed saw that he was a, quote, a goodly child. In Hebrews 11:23, it says he was a proper child. It means he was a beautiful child. Is this the only reason his life was spared? Because when the mom saw this child, she said, "Well, he's a beauty. Let's hang on to this one." By the way, all babies are pretty much ugly, aren't they? So it wasn't the fact, "Oh boy, did I just get in trouble? I had some moms with pierces coming, you know, some, you know, arrows coming." You know, the dads go, "Oh, it looks like me, yeah." But it literally means he was a beautiful child. That does not imply that they would have had him exposed if he were otherwise. We're helped by the meaning of the parallel account in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, where Stephen is preaching his sermon. And it literally says in Acts 7:20 that Moses was beautiful to God. Moses was beautiful to God. In other words, Jochebed recognizes in her child Moses what every mother would see in her own child. And that's why I was kind of making fun just a minute ago, because every mother thinks her child is the most beautiful thing in the world, and you should. God had a special plan for this infant Moses. Later on in the New Testament, Jesus makes clear that all children are precious to God. And if you offend just one of them, it is better that a millstone were hanged around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. It's like my professor used to say in seminary, "You'd sink rather quickly, wouldn't you?" You know what a millstone is? They're about this tall. It's a big stone. You put that around somebody's neck, they're gone when they're thrown into the water. You offend one of them. Charles Spurgeon's mother was saying to him one day, talking about God's plan for Charles Spurgeon, she said, "Ah, Charlie, I have often prayed that you might be saved, but never that you should become a Baptist." Here's what Charles Spurgeon said back to her. "God answered your prayer, mother, with his usual bounty and given you more than you asked." But the mother recognizing God's plan for his life. Listen, you look at this time of persecution and tribulation for the children of Israel, and it was a fearful thing to go against the king's command. You don't do that. The king was mighty. But Jochebed recognized something. The king is mighty, but my God is almighty.
Amen.
And you can try to get my son, who belongs to God, but I don't fear the king. I fear God. She refused to follow the will of a wicked king. And that's why I call this a faithful mother's refusal. Refusing to follow his will, she was resolved to follow the will of God. And while Pharaoh is trying to exterminate the Israelites, God is working behind the scenes to emancipate them. But folks, listen, it began with a mother's faith, who refused to permit her child to be thrown into the river. And the kind of faith that Jochebed had, I note two characteristics of it. This kind of faith, number one, disobeys. This kind of faith disobeys. She refused to obey the king because it was a priority to obey God. The apostles, when they were told to go out and not mention the name of Jesus anymore, they replied with this: we ought to obey God rather than men. And anytime there comes an instance where the government wants us to do something that contradicts what you see in God's word, we disobey. We disobey man. We always obey God. If there ever comes a time when the government says, you can no longer spank your children, what do you do? Well, I read in the book of Proverbs many times, do not spare the rod. And so I obey God. This kind of faith disobeys. Even when the other ladies were giving in, some of them were, according to Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7 and verse 19. It indicates there that the practice of many parents was, and I quote, to cast out their young children to the end they may not live, because they were fearful of the king's edict. There were some who were fearful of what he would say. And men today decree that the life in the womb is nothing more than a fetus, and the mother has a choice. If the child interferes with her plans, abort the child. Do you think Moses interfered with his mother's plans? He was interfering with her very life. Moses put her mother in danger, yet she, by faith, delivered him and hid him. You talk about some sleepless nights. Here's a mother, swayed by faith in God, not public opinion. And yet today the decree of some is that Bible methods are outdated, and thus it is not right to spank a child. Proverbs 29:15 says this: the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It goes on to say in verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. It is interesting that just a few verses later, Proverbs 29:25 says this, same context: the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I say again that here is a faithful mother who refuses to obey the king. And that kind of faith disobeys. That kind of faith also disregards. What does it disregard? Two things. It disregards suffering. It says here that in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Exodus, she hid him. Think about that, folks. For 3 months, when most people are enjoying their newborn child, she had to squelch his natural crying. Think about the terror she probably had every time a soldier walked by. Think about the terror she had every time there was a knock on the door, fearing that maybe this is somebody who might have heard my child, or somebody might have given us up to the king. Think of the nightmare she may have had of somebody coming and snatching him, and envisioning her child being cast into the Nile River with his lungs filling up with that dirty water, gasping for air. Faith of this mother disregards suffering. Even as the apostles in Acts 5:41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. It disregards suffering. Secondly, it disregards success. The possibilities of success for this young man coming to age is remote. The odds are against her. She's probably thinking, we can't do this forever. What am I going to do? And sometimes your faith you may be tempted to see your faith become inactive because the outcome seems impossible. Today we're told it's no use trying to raise God-fearing children in an evil society. That is not the statement of a faithful mother who puts her faith and trust in God. A faithful mother's refusal. But I want you to see, secondly, in verses 3 and 4, a faithful mother's release. Look at verse 3 with me. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. That was an act of faith to hide him for 3 months, but when that was impossible anymore, she didn't abandon hope and she did not abandon her child. She really is here releasing Moses completely into God's care and providence. Imagine placing a 3-month-old baby in a small boat and releasing that little boat into the river. You think there might be some emotions? The same river which was used as an instrument of death to other Hebrew children was the same river that is saving baby Moses. And yet it wasn't the river that was merciful. You see, the Egyptians worshipped the Nile. It was the God in whom she placed her faith who was merciful. Can you imagine releasing? I mean, we've got this little story that you see, and you see in the little cartoons in Sunday school, you know, the little ark, and everybody's kind of smiling. Think about what's happening when Jochebed does this. Think about her heart being torn out as she does this. I want to make some application this way with this. How about releasing your child to God in spite of the emotional pull? Disregarding your own dreams and encouraging him to follow God's clear leading regardless of where that takes him or her. I've read of parents who would refuse to allow their children to go to the mission field because it's too difficult. You'll live so far away, we'll never get to see you. No, a faithful mother releases her children to God and his leading in their life. You remember the story of Hannah? Childless. She promised God, if you just give me a child, I will give him back to you. Which is what every mother ought to do. Every father ought to do. And faithful to her word, when that little boy was just young, after she had weaned him, she faithfully took him back to Jerusalem, or to Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and she left that child in the care of Eli the priest, because she had promised that she would do that. She released that child back into God's care. A faithful mother's release. But thirdly, verses 5 to 10, a faithful mother's reward. Let's read verses 5 to 10. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Look at the faithful mother's reward in verses 7 to 9. Physically, her child is restored to her. She never did lose this child because she had released him to God. What she gave to God, listen, God gave back with wages. You simply cannot give, outgive God. So there's that physical reward, but there's also this spiritual reward. A faithful mother's reward, physically, secondly, spiritually. The reward went even further. Because the mother who refused the influence the world had on her son, she had a faith that refused to obey the king. We read in Hebrews 11, 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused. Did you pick that up? He also refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, on Mother's Day, if there had been such a thing in that day, Moses was not sending Mother's Day cards to Pharaoh's daughter. He was saying, she's not my mother. Apparently, Jochebed had instilled into Moses' heart when he was just a child, faith in God. You instill God-fearing faith in a child, and one day he'll refuse to be called the son of Hillary Clinton's village. He'll refuse to be called the son of the public school system. He'll refuse to be called the son of some godless revolution. He will instead proudly say, I am the son of a mother who demonstrated to me what Jochebed means. Jehovah is glory. To God be the glory. It goes on to say there in Hebrews chapter 11, we've already read this. It goes on to say, therefore, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What are we talking about here? A faithful mother's reward. By faith, she and Amram had saved their child. And then the very next verse in Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses. Yeah, Timothy. The unfeigned faith that was in your mother and in your grandmother, you have it too. And by the way, it's not passed on genetically. It's something that is taught. And that's how we know Jochebed taught Moses. What reward awaits the faithful mother? Children who live not for the pleasure of the day, but for the reward of God's promises, which are future. And this isn't to say that some child's not going to have a will of his own and go his own way. Note, however, that Moses didn't refuse to be called Pharaoh's daughter until, it says there in Hebrews 11, 24, until he was come to years. In other words, when he had grown up. It isn't natural for a mother to be concerned that her child's going to turn out right. But if a mother is fretting and worrying about it, could it be that she is not rearing the child biblically? And thus cannot rear confidently that child with faith in God? It is the Proverbs 31 woman who, verse 30 says, feareth the Lord, who has this promise, her children arise up and call her blessed, and she shall be praised. God used a member of the family of this wicked Pharaoh to save the one who would ultimately be used of God to thwart all the wicked devices and decrees of that same family of Pharaohs. Folks, not only was the child delivered, the mother's faith was rewarded by the return of her son to her. And an entire nation was later wonderfully and miraculously delivered. Due to the faith of one mother, one child was spared. And one child became the one that God used to deliver a nation. To write 5 of the 66 books of the Bible you hold in your lap this morning. You see, there's a counteracting impact of one mother's faith in God. She refused the will of man. She released her child to God, and she enjoyed the reward of her faithfulness. Sometimes you may not experience the reward of your faithfulness in this life. But when we join together in heaven for eternity, I look forward to learning the details of Bible stories of men and women of faith. And of some who have been really obscure, like Jochebed, who's not even mentioned in Exodus 2 or Hebrews 11. It's just a parent who had faith. She's mentioned later in the book of Numbers, and she's given a name. She's mentioned later in Exodus with a name. But isn't it interesting that right here, she's not even mentioned by name? It's the wife of Amram. One day, we'll hear the details of this. But what God has given us for us to know today is this. Moms who are faithful, refuse the will of man, release their children to God, and see the reward of delivering that child to the Lord. May the Lord find us faithful. May the Lord find you faithful. Would you bow your heads? Lord, today, as we think of mothers, I pray for the children of every mother seated here. For the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and even in some cases the great-great-grandchildren. Mothers who have been faithful and are still praying that you would do a work in the heart of some child who has gone wayward, perhaps not even saved. Because that child has his own will. And I pray today that you would honor the faithful, continued praying of that mother who is praying for that son or that daughter who has gone astray. Lord, that you would do a work in that life. And may they come to know you as their personal Savior. And for the grandchildren and great-great grandchildren, Lord, that you would use their faithfulness and their continued influence to impact the future generations. And I pray for the children who are still in the home or growing up and about to leave home, that they would recognize the influence and the impact of a mother's faith and would honor their father and their mother. That the glory might go to you, Jochebed. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.